Thank you, Jesus, that we get to be in your house and with your people, and especially that we get to open your word and learn from you. And I pray that today won't be any different than all the other Sundays we've had where we've gotten to open the word and preach it. And I pray that my heart and others will have the ability to soak in what's being said, and that we can grow and learn and lean on you more and more as we approach this new coming year. Thank you for all that's taken place. I thank you that we have a healthy congregation and strong people that are in the Lord, and help us to all continue to walk that way. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. It's on page 1789 in the Pew Bibles. If you're looking at most of the Bibles that have little headings and things, those headings are not inspired scripture, by the way. They're kind of added by humans. So sometimes they could be very useful and helpful in looking for and finding things, but they also can interrupt thoughts. And I think, again, on this one, when the first word is finally, that kind of tells me he's probably referring to something before, and yet it looks like it's a new section in Scripture. So we kind of have to realize that these verses are transitional, and they tie the previous section to the next section, and it's not like we've left the concept of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We haven't left the concept of parents and children having appropriate submission relationships, and bosses and employees having the appropriate, proper submission relationships, husbands and wives, and all of the different things that we looked at previously still continue in this section. But there's one thing we've got to realize. If you've ever tried to be perfect on your own, you try to do the right thing, you try to do everything that you're supposed to do in your own strength, how's that worked out? Not so good. We can do our very, very best, and it's not worthy of heaven. And yet we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And so if we look to where does our strength come from, your strength comes from the Lord. And this verse today is relatively simple. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So if you're in the Lord, and again, this has been going on, this theme of in the Lord is throughout all of Ephesians, and in fact, through all of Scripture. Be strong in the Lord. Your strength isn't in yourself. Your strength isn't in your community, although community can help you stay strong in the Lord. But your strength is in the Lord, and in His mighty power. Now, that mighty power is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That mighty power is the same power that sustains and holds all things in place. If it weren't for God's sustaining power, all of the atoms that you're made up of would just kind of fly apart. There would be no connectedness with anything in life. It would all just be chaos. Because God is the one that brings all things together. There is an enemy, and we're going to talk in the next few weeks, starting next year, about putting on the armor of God and trying to determine what is it that we do, how do we protect ourselves from the schemes of the devil. Well, the devil has schemes. One of his best schemes is, let's break everything apart, let's destroy things, let's ruin things. He does that with relationships. If he can get husbands and wives bickering, children and parents bickering, bosses and employees bickering, guess what? Satan's victorious in that. His plan is to create division. Is he succeeding in the world that we're living in right now? As you look at the polarity of thought, it's like you can't have this meeting in the middle anymore. It's always you're either over here or you're over there, and you better pick the right side or you're going to have all of your friends or half of your friends angry with you. And if you pick this side, then all these friends over here are angry. If you pick that side, these friends over here are angry. That's not just in the world. That happens in churches too. That happens in families. That happens throughout all of society. And part of that is it's because the enemy's scheme, the devil's scheme, is to try to divide and break things apart and tear things down. We think of something powerful, okay, atomic bomb, very powerful. But atomic power is even more powerful because it's controlled power. When we look at the way that the mighty power of God, His power holds things together. His power builds up. His power reproduces life. I love God's economy where you can take one apple and inside that apple there's a bunch of seeds, and in those seeds there's more trees and then there's more apples. Corn, the same thing. You ever, you know, just chew on a good ear of corn, but you could take all of that and you could plant a whole other crop of corn just from one ear. Not a really big crop, but a pretty good sized crop for any of us living in a city. I mean, it's remarkable what God can do. He can produce things that produce other things that produce other things, and He wants to do that with His church, with His people. So the mighty power of God isn't just for us to say, yeah, this is great, I've got my fire insurance and I don't have to go to hell. But it's like, wow, God's power is big enough not just for all of us, but for everybody else that doesn't know Jesus yet. God's power is big enough that we can share and share and share and never run out. Because He's got that kind of economy that just builds and builds. We can produce fruit in our lives 50-fold, 100-fold or more. And then it's fruit that will also bear more fruit. So the body of Christ grows and grows. Psalm 37, one of my favorite psalms. I kind of think of it as the don't worry, be happy psalm. And then Philippians 4:4 is also on this same page and in this same light. Psalm 37, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. Okay, so we're going to find our strength in the Lord. How do we get our strength out of the Lord? How do we find strength in the Lord and in His mighty power? We trust in the Lord. We recognize who He is. And that He wants to reward those who earnestly seek Him. So we trust in the Lord. And then it says, and do good. If we're trusting in the Lord, we're doing good there already to start with, but it's also going to help us with the works. We aren't saved by works, but we're created to do good works. So trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Then the next verse, verse 4 in Psalm 37, take delight. Take delight in what? In the Lord. If you're in the Lord, there's supposed to be joy and delight and happiness. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. If you're delighting and desiring in God, He's saying, yep, I'm available. Here. I'll give you your desires, because your desire is to know Me. Your desire is to be with Me. Your desire is to grow in Me. So if you're in the Lord and your desire and your delight is in the Lord, you'll get your desires met. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. That's Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord. So that rejoicing comes in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? When? Always. I will say it again. Rejoice. It's like, why does Paul keep having to tell church people to rejoice? Because sometimes we as church people are grumpy and too serious and not enjoying what God's done for us and what He's doing for us continually. Nehemiah. It's always fun to go to the Old Testament and find the same thing that you find in the New Testament. And those first two bullet points, those aren't quotes. That's just kind of a quick representation of what's in the verses. There were a lot of names listed and things too about who the Levites were and who different judges were and things. But Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Levites were teaching the people the words of the law. They woke up early in the morning and they're teaching all day long. And the Israelites, any of them that had understanding, so the little kids and if there were people that weren't capable of understanding, they could have been off doing other things, but all of those with understanding, it says in Scripture, were listening, and Ezra is teaching from the law. Nehemiah was kind of the president, the king, you know, and Ezra's the priest, and then you've got the Levites who are also priestly types, and they're all explaining and teaching and instructing in the law. The people are trying to rebuild a broken country. Their country had fallen apart, and they're in the process of rebuilding. And as they're doing this, they're rediscovering what life is all about. And all of the people were weeping as they listened to the words of the law. They're weeping, and they're like, whoa. Why were they weeping? It was out of conviction. They knew that they hadn't lived up to God's standard. And the message that Ezra and Nehemiah and the Levites gave to them was, you don't have to weep, you don't have to grieve. Let me explain something to you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's a holy day to our Lord. You don't have to grieve, you don't have to weep, you don't have to worry, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. God's going to give you joy, and that will give you more strength. And then you'll be able to get through whatever you thought you weren't capable of. You can do it. You're no longer going to have to feel like you have to try to live up to the law. Because if you're in the Lord, you'll be strong and you'll be able to follow the Lord, follow the law, follow all of the precepts in His Word. In Psalm 28, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me. He rewards those that seek Him." If you trust in the Lord and do good, He's going to direct your paths. "My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise Him. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed ones." This whole concept of God's power and joy, strength is from the joy. If we want to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, we've got to know the joy of the Lord. Is your heart leaping for joy as you think about Jesus? Or is it a burden? Lord, if we're in You, we know that You want to guide us and direct us. You are our strength and our shield. You're a present joy in times of trouble. Help us to know that peace that surpasses understanding. Give us the ability to walk with You and in You and in Your awesome power. Psalm 73, and then also Philippians 4. Psalm 73, verse 26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail." If I try it in my own strength, I'm probably going to fail. "But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Now, if God's the strength of my heart, then I won't fail. And then in Philippians 4, Paul says, "I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." Paul's telling them that he can live with no matter what circumstances. Circumstances don't control his feelings. Circumstances don't control his existence. Circumstances don't control anything about him. He can die and that's gain. He can live and that's good. It doesn't matter if he's hungry. He's still got God with him. If he's got plenty, abundance, he's got things to share. There's always something positive he can find in everything. He says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." You know, sometimes it's difficult to be wealthy. Ever seen those TV shows where they talk about people that won the lottery and then their life was ruined? It's like having a lot, having abundance isn't any easier than being poor. You need God's strength for both of those things. Obviously, it's better to have, right? I think most of us would agree with that. But for what purpose? If it makes us feel too highly about ourselves and it draws us away from God, that's not a good thing. Book of Isaiah, a couple of passages here in Isaiah. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. And later, chapter 41 in Isaiah. "So do not fear, for I am with you." This is God talking. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You don't need to do things in your own power. God is the one that will do that with you and through you. So here we are at today's text. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And another passage from Ephesians. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. We thank you, Lord, that your mighty power can draw us to a place where we are successful even when we don't even feel like we can do anything. Because we can do all things through you, through your mighty power, through your goodness, through your grace. Amen. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.